that's okay with you. If you could, let's stand to our feet and turn in our Bibles to Mark chapter 5, verse 21 through 24. Mark chapter 5, verse 21 through 24, and then we're going to skip down and read verse 35 and 36 also. Mark 5 and 21. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And then in verse 35, while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. I'm going to take just a few short minutes and going to speak to you on the topic of when all seems lost. When all seems lost. Can we put our Bibles down, lift up our hands, and let's pray that God helps us this morning. Lord, we love you this morning. God, we thank you so much for your hand upon us. Thank you, Lord, that you are in control, that God, our situations, our circumstances, Lord, it's all in your hands this morning. God, I pray that you would help us for the next few minutes, God, to give you our attention, to give you our focus, or to open up our hearts and our minds, our spirits, and allow you to speak to us this morning, Lord. God, we ask that you would have your way in this house, that you would anoint your word, anoint my mouth this morning, anoint our ears and our hearts to receive what you have for us. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You can be seated. How many of you have ever hoped for something before? For something. Maybe many of you can relate to this. Maybe you hoped that you would pass high school. Maybe you hoped your parents wouldn't get that report card. Or maybe you hoped that the guy or the girl you liked would talk to you. Or that you would be picked for the team. Or my favorite, that the teacher wouldn't call on you. Every class, I would wait in total panic mode that the teacher would not call on me. And most of the time, she would or he would. Or another one, this one might even be better, that the preacher wouldn't call you out in the middle of a service. You ever had one of those evangelists come through that's really good about, you stand up right here and then starts reading your mail and then comes and prays for you while the whole church watches? Growing up, I was always terrified of that guy. I always hated when I saw the announcement, Brother so-and-so is coming, the guy who calls people out and prays for them in front of everyone. Or how about hoping that the Lord would come back before a big test? We have hope. The other day, I was at AutoZone, and I ran into a guy I haven't seen in years. The neighborhood I grew up in, I knew everyone in the neighborhood. I made the rounds. I went in their houses. I knew everybody in that neighborhood. One guy, real nice guy, he was a physical therapist. I used to play basketball with him. He's like 6'4". I was like 5 years old, and we would play basketball together. But we were talking, and he remembered me. And he said, you know, the one thing I remember about you most, he said, we were playing basketball one day. He said, you're in elementary school. And you told me that you had a big test coming up that week, and I asked you if you were prepared for it. And he said that I said, no, but I'm praying that God will come back before the test pops up. And he said, I knew that this kid had his priorities right. His head was on straight. So I'm probably not the only one that's hoped that God would come before the big test. Or maybe you hoped that God wouldn't come just yet. Maybe you hope that you didn't miss the rapture. Anyone ever had that moment as a kid? You know, where you're pretty sure after 5 minutes of calling everyone you knew and frantically searching the house for missing relatives that you had missed the rapture? You calmly run through the house at top speed, hoping, praying that someone would turn up. If nothing else, just so you don't have to miss the rapture alone. Just to have some company. Hopefully somebody missed it with me. Hopefully I'm not alone here. You know, people have hope for all kinds of things these days. They hope they will win the lottery. They hope that they will make it big, become rich and famous. A little closer home for us, people hope that they have enough to retire on. You know, people hope that they stay healthy. They hope that we don't go to war. I remember a month ago, a lot of us were hoping that Hurricane Irma would turn away from Florida and just bypass us altogether. Now, there's nothing wrong with hoping in this life that you lead a happy life and you retire and become successful and have great accomplishments and that hurricanes stay away from your house. But I hope that that is not all you're hoping for this morning. We should be putting our hope in something more than just that. Where we should be putting our hope is in the Word of God and in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We have hope of life and life more abundantly in Christ Jesus. We have hope of a future in heaven with Him. I'm putting my hope in something more substantial than just the things we find down here on earth. Titus chapter 3 and verse 7 says, "So that being justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life." We have the hope of eternal life. We have the hope that there's something a whole lot more to all of this, this existence, this life. There's a whole lot more to it than just me waking up, going to work, having a family, growing old, retiring, and then dying. There's a whole lot more than just that. I have hope of eternal life, that I'm going to spend eternity on the streets of gold with my Lord and Savior. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 and through 18 says, "So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." We should be looking for, hoping for, and preparing for eternity. We are not looking to put our hope in temporary things here on earth, but we put our hope in Christ Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We put our hope in the finished work of Calvary. 1 Peter 1 and 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." You know, my hope is in a lot more than winning the lottery or being successful here on earth. But my hope is in Jesus Christ. My hope is in my relationship with Him. My hope is in the fact that one day He's coming back for His church. That He is going to get us out of here and we will be with Him for eternity. That's what I'm hoping for. You know, most everyone is hoping for or putting their hope in something. You know, if it's not in spiritual things, if it's not in eternal things, they're putting it in material things, you know, things down here on earth. Most everyone is hoping for something. But what about those who have lost all hope? There's people out there who have lost all hope. Those who it seems that to them all is lost. There are people who have lost all hope. They really feel that their situation is so dire, so beyond help, that they lose hope. I'm speaking to that group of people today. I want to encourage someone here today that there is still hope for you. There is still hope for your situation. There is still hope for your family. In the scripture we read, we see one of the leaders of the local synagogue. He comes running to Jesus, Jairus, begging him to come heal his daughter. He said that his daughter's on the brink of death, that she could die at any moment. Now, this man was desperate. Jairus was at the point where he would do anything, whatever it would take to save his daughter. You can imagine, your kid's on the brink of death, and you know somebody, if I can get to that person can fix my child. They can heal my child. You know, you would imagine the desperation, the frantic pace you would be running to go track that man down and get him to your home. Have you ever been that desperate before, where your situation was so dire, so pressing, that you were willing to do absolutely anything at all to solve the issue, to solve the problem? This is how Jairus was. He came frantically running to Jesus looking for help, looking for an answer, looking for Jesus to heal his daughter. Now, at this point in the game, he did have hope. He did have faith. He told Jesus that, hey, if you can come lay hands on my daughter, she's going to be fine. He had faith. If you just come and come to my house and pray for my daughter, she'll be okay. Just get Jesus there and everything will be okay. He had hope. He had faith that everything was going to be all right if Jesus could just get to the house. But as Jairus and Jesus were making their way through the crowd to the way where his daughter was, a messenger came running up from the house of Jairus and told him not to trouble the master any longer. His daughter was dead. That, hey, all hope is gone. All is lost now. Your daughter's dead. You know, don't even trouble the master any further. There is no hope for your daughter. She's gone. You can imagine how he felt at that moment when his heart must have just sank. He probably had thoughts of frustration, thoughts of hopelessness run through his head at the same time. If I had just gotten to Jesus a few minutes quicker, you know, she would be alive. But Jesus was quick to tell Jairus to keep his faith, that everything would be okay. Mark 5 and 36 says, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. You know, this was a hopeless situation. To everyone in the crowd, to all the people there, all the people back at Jairus' house, the messenger who came, to everybody who was there, everybody who knew the situation, to them, all hope was gone. All was lost. It's over. There was no hope for the girl now. She's dead. You know, you may be here this morning and you may feel that all is lost. You may feel that the situation that you're facing is too far gone for it to turn around now. But you need to understand that God is in the resurrecting business. Even in a situation that seems dead, God can resurrect it. God can salvage anything and fix any situation, but we have to put our faith and our hope in Him. God is in the resurrecting business. God is in the problem-solving business. God is in the salvage business where He takes things that are broken and He repurposes it for the kingdom of God. You know, Jairus was told just to believe, to hold on to faith that he had when he first ran up to Jesus. That same faith while his daughter was still alive, where he believed if Jesus could just get to the house, everything will be okay. Jesus said, hey, just keep holding on to that faith. Yeah, I know you heard your daughter's dead, but you just go ahead and keep that same faith that you came running up here with, and everything's going to be okay. In other words, you have, you know, you may have started out with faith. Maybe when you first came to God, maybe when the first situation, when the situation first took a turn for the worse, you had faith that God would take care of it, that God was still in control. But as the situation grew worse, you begin to lose hope. Now it seems that all is lost. I'm here to encourage someone this morning that you need to resurrect your faith. You need to believe that God is still in control, that it's not over till God says it's over, that the same faith you had in the beginning, even though the situation might look terrible now, you need that same faith, that same hope in God, that He is still able to deliver, that He's still able to save, He's still able to salvage. You need to do what David did and encourage yourself in the Lord. You know, David and his men, he had about 600 men with him. They're off doing what men did back then, looking for war, fighting wars. Wife and kids are back at home. They left all their belongings, their families, in Ziklag. When they returned, they found Ziklag burned to the ground. The whole city just burned to the ground. Everything in it, everything they owned was gone. You know, we're talking 600 guys. Their wives, their kids, their homes, their clothes, their iPads, everything they had was gone when they got back to Ziklag, and it was burned to the ground. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 3 through 6 says, so David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. I wonder if anybody here has ever been in that kind of situation before, where you have wept until you have no more power to weep anymore. You've cried out everything you have to cry out. because situation seems so dire. It's so lost. It's so beyond hopelessness that there's nothing to do but weep. And you weep everything you have. This is where these guys were. And David's two wives were taken captives. Ahinoam, the Jezreelites, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. So here are David and his men at a point where all is lost. It just seems like, man, it's over. All is lost. You know, your entire life, everything you're fighting for, the reason you're out fighting is for the people back home, your wives, your kids, your freedom, and all of that's gone now. You know, they have wept till they can weep no longer. David's wives and his kids are gone, not just his men, it's his own. His men are now talking of stoning him to death. You can imagine the thought process going through David's mind. You know, here I come back home. Everything is gone. My city's burned to the ground. All my men, their wives, their kids are gone. You know, we've lost everything. We're out here weeping. We're crying. We're mourning the loss of our families. Now my 600 guys are talking about killing me. You know, this is getting worse. The situation is not getting better at all. You know, you go from one bad situation to it just gets worse. But then the Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. You know, there are 600 guys there. Nobody else was encouraging David. Nobody was coming to his tent saying, hey, David, it's going to be okay, man. It's all going to work out. You know, no, those guys were standing outside and they were weighing stones and looking at the tent. You know, nobody was encouraging David. There was nobody left in Ziklag but David and his men. And at this point, they hated him. They wanted to kill him. He was probably scared to come out of the tent, put the little lock on the zipper, and hopefully they can't break it. Hope they don't get the bolt cutters out. But somehow in the middle of this process, the Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. Nobody else was doing it. He encouraged himself in the Lord. And I wonder what that looked like. David's in his tent encouraging himself in the Lord. And I wonder what that looked like. I imagine that David was reminding himself of who God is. I'm sure he was remembering the times how God has always taken care of him. I'm sure he began to remember how God slew the giant Goliath and helped him. I'm sure David reminded himself how God had orchestrated every moment of his life up to that point, how God had always had his life in God's hands. I'm sure that is the only way I can imagine how he encouraged himself in the Lord, is by just remembering, you know what? God is still God. God is still in control. Things may look impossible, but I've seen God do the impossible. God is still going to work this out somehow. You know, when you're at the lowest point in your life, sometimes you don't even want other people encouraging you. Sometimes you just want to sit and weep, mourn and weep, and then look for somebody to blame. That's what his men did. They mourned, they wept, and then they tried to turn their anger on somebody, on David. A lot of times that's what we do. We're in a horrible situation, and we mourn, we weep, all is lost, and then we just start looking for people to blame. Maybe we blame God. Maybe we blame family. Maybe we blame circumstances. We just look to blame somebody because we're angry that we're dealing with such hurt and such loss, such pain. It's hard to encourage yourself. Nobody else is encouraging you. You're not getting it from anywhere else. But that's exactly what we need to do, and I think we do that by reminding ourselves of how big and powerful and great our God really is, and how God has never left us. He's never forsaken us. He's never led me down a wrong path that ended up doing me harm. All works together for my good when God is in control. You know, sometimes you just need to encourage yourself in the Lord when you feel all is lost. You need to remind yourself of how big and great and powerful your God is. Remind yourself how he's always had his hand on your life, how he has always come through for you, how he promised that he would never leave you, that he would never forsake you. You need to remind yourself of that, because there's times where you don't feel God. You don't feel that God even knows where you're at, but he has promised that he will never leave you, never forsake you, and God is true to his word. If he said it, he will do it. If he said he's never going to leave me, then he's never going to leave me. It doesn't matter how I feel. It doesn't matter if I can't see God. He is never going to leave me. Remind yourself that nothing can happen without God's permission. You know, 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 7 through 8. Verse 7 says, "And David said to Abiathar the priest," this is after the mourning, after the weeping, and then after he encouraged himself in the Lord. He told Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, "I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod." And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, "Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them?" We're talking about the people that came, the Amalekites that stole his family. And he answered him and said, "Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all." They went, David and his 600 men. He convinced them to not kill him, but give him one more shot. "Hey, guys, put the stones down. We're going to try one more time. I've got a plan." They went and they recovered their belongings. The Bible says that they slew Amalekites from the evening until the evening the next day. They were killing Amalekites all night long, all morning, and all day the next day. They killed everyone they could get their hands on. And the Bible says they got their wives, their kids, their stuff, everything that had been stolen. They got every single bit of it restored to them. You know, we need to fight for our stuff. We need to learn to fight for our families, fight for our kids. Some of you feel like giving in when instead you need to go and fight. You want to stay home and weep and find someone to be angry at. You need to dig in your heels and fight for your family, fight for your kids. You know, there might be people here this morning and your family feels like it's falling apart. You need to fight for your family this morning. You may have lost all hope for your family. It may seem that when it comes to your family, your situation, that all hope is lost, that all is lost. You feel that all is lost when it comes to your family. That's exactly what the enemy wants you to think. He wants you to continue thinking that all is lost. The last thing the devil wants to see is you and God riding on horses coming after him to come get your stuff back. Because he knows that when God is with you, you're going to recover all. You're going to get everything back. He wants you to give up hope for your family. He wants you to stop praying for your family. He wants you to stop believing that God is going to restore your family. You need to go to bat for them. You need to take the fight to the enemy on your knees. That is how we take the battle to the enemy. All is not lost when you team up with God and go to war. Go and take back your family. You know, I feel like there's people here this morning that you need to hear that. You need to hear that God sees your family situation. God knows what's going on with your family. God knows all about it. It may seem like all is lost. It may seem like things are unrecoverable, that things are unsalvageable, but God is in the business of doing the impossible, working the impossible. And when you begin to put it in God's hands and you say, "God, I am choosing to put my hope in you, that, Lord, you are going to help my family," and you start declaring war on the enemy that has declared war on your family, and you start praying for them. You pray a hedge of protection around them. You start speaking things in faith that, "God, my kids will come to the house of God. My kids will be filled with the Holy Ghost. God, my parents will be filled with the Holy Ghost. God, I will see this relationship restored and salvaged." We feel all is lost when we have lost all hope. You know, we have to realize that hope is a powerful thing. You know, many doctors will tell you that patients decline dramatically when they lose hope. You know, they just give up. They see the end and they lose heart. They give up, they lose hope, and usually there's a sharp decline after that. You know, hope is powerful. Hope keeps you in the game. It keeps you praying for deliverance. It keeps you praying for healing. It keeps you praying for a breakthrough, even when that seems like an impossibility. Hope is powerful. Hope keeps your faith in God alive. Once you lose hope, then all is lost. If you've lost hope, then you've lost everything. It is our faith that moves mountains. You know, there's a story, most of you guys may have even heard it. Marcus Luttrell was a Navy SEAL. There were four of these guys. They were tasked to do a mission. I believe it's called Operation Red Wing, something like that. They were in the mountains of Afghanistan doing a recon mission, and they're looking down. They're up on the mountain. They're high-quality surveillance equipment. They're watching way down in the valley, watching for a high-value target that they're, you know, planning on capturing. Well, in the middle of their, you know, stakeout, some sheep farmers came walking upon them, stumbled across them, you know, staking out this valley. And they got the farmers, they tied them up. They were trying to decide what to do. They said, hey, we can either kill these guys, which then we'll be in big trouble when we get back home, or we can let them go. But if we let them go, we run the risk that they're going to run right down there and tell the Taliban where we're at. Well, they decided, hey, we're not going to kill these guys. They're unarmed farmers. We're going to let them go. They let them go, and then they started hightailing it out of there because they knew what was coming. It wasn't but a couple hours. They say that they were surrounded by about 100 to 200 Taliban fighters. And for the next several hours, they fought four guys. And they killed tens and tens and tens of Taliban fighters. And one by one, they dropped. And there's one guy that made it out. They made a movie about it called Lone Survivor. There's one guy that made it out of this alive. And I saw an interview that he did with a news correspondent. And the news correspondent was telling him how sad he was when he was watching the movie. He said it just seemed so hopeless. The whole situation from the very beginning was so hopeless. And Marcus Luttrell, the SEAL that made it out, you could see his face just turn red, and he got, like, blazing mad at this news correspondent. He said, I don't know what movie you saw. He said, but hopelessness was not part of it. He said, we never felt like we were going to lose this battle. He said, as we're dying, he said, we never lost hope. He said, I don't know what you're talking about. He got mad at the news correspondent. He said, we never lost hope. He said, we knew the four of us were going to beat those guys. He said, we had no doubt. As we're falling, we're dropping. Every single one of them was shot. Every one of them had been blown to bits by RPGs, and they continued fighting. Most of them had 4 and 5 gunshots in them, and they still kept fighting. They said, we never lost hope. He said, I don't even know what you're talking about. They almost had to end the interview because he got so mad at this guy. He said, hopelessness was not part of it. He said, we never lost hope. You know, hope keeps you in the game. It keeps you fighting. That even when it feels like you're dying, even when it feels like you're not going to make it out, hope keeps you pressing on, keeps you fighting, keeps you in the game. Hope is powerful. Nobody can take your hope from you unless you decide to give in. You yourself decide, I'm not going to make it. This situation isn't going to work out. My family's not going to make it. Nobody can take your hope from you except for you. But someone who keeps their hope and their faith in God alive, even when all seems lost, gets the attention of God. God recognizes people who have hope in hopeless situations. Jairus kept on believing Jesus, even though everyone told Jairus that all is lost. The people back home are mourning. The crowd around him are mourning. The messenger that came from his house said, hey, don't even bother the master. It's all over. All hope is gone. Jairus kept on believing Jesus, even though when everyone else said all is lost. Your daughter's dead. Don't even waste your time. It's too late. He kept on believing, and because of that, he was able to witness as Jesus rose his daughter from the dead. If he had lost his hope and said, hey, Jesus, you heard the messenger. It's gone. It's over. His daughter would have not gotten back up that day. It was because Jesus said, hey, you keep on believing. Just like when you came up here, hold that faith. And he said, okay, I'm going to hold on to that faith. And he goes back home with Jesus, and he watches Jesus raise his daughter from the dead. Hope is what made the difference in that situation. David and his men. You know, David encouraged himself in the Lord. David never really lost hope. He started to believe that, hey, God is still so much in control that I'm going to ask him, should we go get him back? It's possible. God can do it. And he saw his family recovered. He saw the families of his men recovered and restored because he never lost hope in God. He kept on believing that, hey, God is still in control. It's not over until God tells me it's over. If we could, I wonder if we could stand to our feet. You know, when you look at the life of Job, we see a man that lost everything. Here was a man of integrity, a man that stood out to God. Job did everything right. You know, when the devil came to God, he said, hey, I've been roaming the earth, looking at all the evil in the world. And God said, have you seen my servant Job? Job has integrity. Job does everything right. You know, God was impressed with Job. He was pleased with Job. But we see Job, a man who had everything, a man that had a beautiful family, more property and belongings than you can imagine. He was an extremely wealthy man. But in one day, we see Job lose everything. In one day, he lost his livestock, he lost his 10 kids, he lost his business, and he lost his health. Everything that he had was taken from him. After he heard the news, one servant after the next bringing him news of everything he had just lost. The Bible says that he fell down and worshiped God. Job 1, 20 through 21 says, at the news, Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head. Then he fell to the ground in worship and said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. Somehow in all of the pain and all of the questions and all of the confusion, he still came back to worshiping God. He did have questions for God. If you read the book of Job, he had a lot of questions for God. He didn't understand why he had to lose everything. He did not understand why all this had to happen. Why did my 10 kids all have to die on the same day? Why did I have to lose my business? Why did I have to lose my health? He had lots of questions for God. You know, having hope and keeping your faith in God doesn't mean that you don't feel pain. It doesn't mean that you don't face hopeless situations. It doesn't mean that you don't wonder why you're dealing with what you're dealing with. It doesn't mean that you don't have questions for God. But it means that through all of the questions, through all of the pain, through the seemingly impossible situation in front of you, that you still hold on to hope. That at the end of the day, God, I hate that I'm going through this. God, I don't understand why I'm dealing with this. God, I don't see the way out. But God, I still know that somehow, Lord, you're still in control. Somehow, God, you're going to work it all out. God, somehow I'm holding on to hope that, God, you are going to make things right. You're going to work it all out. That's what hope looks like in the face of a storm, in the face of a trial, in the face of a hopeless situation. It's feeling the pain, but still holding on to hope. It's having questions for God, but still trusting God at the same time. God, why is this happening? I don't know, Lord, but I still trust you. God, you've given, you've taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God, somehow you're going to work it all out. I'm just going to have to keep trusting. Romans 12 and 12 says, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, and be constant in prayer. Romans 15 and 4 says, for whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Romans 15 and 13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. You know, our hope is not in things in this world. Our hope is not in the lottery. It's not in making it big. It's not in making $1 million. Brother Cliff Hires said it perfectly. My hope is not in Pastor Hires. It's not in David Bernard. It's not in anybody. My hope is in Jesus Christ. That is where I find hope. You know, somebody here this morning is facing a situation that you feel is hopeless. Somebody here this morning, you feel that all is lost. I am here to encourage you this morning that God is telling you you need a resurrection of hope in your life. If you can get a hold of hope and you can hold on to it just like Jairus did, then you will see things come back to life in your own life, in your own situation. You need a flood of hope to hit you this morning. You need a restoration of hope to enter into your spirit this morning, where that situation that seemed hopeless, where you say, God, I'm going to have to put this situation in your hands. God, I came here believing that all was lost, but God, I'm leaving here believing that, God, you are still God and you are still able to make a difference in this situation. Somebody here this morning needs to go to bat for your family. You need to not lose hope on your family. You need to keep praying for your kids. The Bible says, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Don't ever get tired of praying for your family. Don't ever get tired of praying for that neighbor. Don't ever get tired of praying for that situation, for that healing. In due season we shall reap if we faint not. If you faint, if you lose hope, you don't reap. If you give up, you don't see the daughter raised from the dead like Jairus did. It's by sticking with it. It's by staying in there. It's by holding on to hope, even when it seems hopeless, that you see things come back to life, that you see restoration, that you see things salvaged in your life, your relationships, your marriage, your family, that you didn't think was possible. I wonder if all over the house, if we could lift our hands up to God right now, and we could begin praying to the Lord, asking that God would restore our hope this morning. Asking that God, that we would leave this place with hope in our hearts that we didn't have when we walked in here. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. God, I'm going to encourage myself in you right now. God, I'm going to start reminding myself just how good you are. God, I'm going to remind myself this morning just how powerful, just how mighty you really are. And God, I pray that when I see my situation, I would see the power of God. Hallelujah. I wonder if we could all gather around here up at the front and begin to talk to the Lord. Somebody needs to encourage themselves in the Lord this morning. Somebody needs to remind themselves that God is in control. Hallelujah.
My God can do anything.
That's it. Find a place and talk to the Lord this morning.
My
encourage
God
yourself in the Lord.
Can do anything. He's got the power. He's got the power. He's got the power. can do anything. Do anything.